If you find the information in this program insightful and informative, please consider donating to Knowledge for Life, a nonprofit 501c3. And you can go into the description and click on our Cash App, $KnowForLife, or our PayPal secure link. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate your support.
So let us open up in the proper manner. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due. We thank this one God for his many mercies and blessings. And the greatest of God's mercy is that he intervenes in the affairs of humanity when humanity has strayed from the right path. We thank this one God for Musa and or Moses and the Torah. We thank this one God for Isa and or Jesus and the gospel. We thank this one God for Muhammad and the revelation of the Holy Quran. However, I would be remiss in my duty as a black man in America if I did not thank this same one true God for his intervention in our affairs as black people in America. And the reason why I emphasize this so much, I want you to think about what I'm about to say. And that is, God did not send a prophet, an apostle, or even a messenger to come for us. He came himself, manifesting the greatest demonstration of love ever displayed for a human being ever in the annals of human history. God came himself for us. And if that don't make you happy and proud and joyous, then I don't know what will. We thank Allah for intervening in our affairs in the person of one Master Far Muhammad. And we thank him for searching among us, finding one worthy among us in the first instance in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his Christ, now Mahdi. And we thank the two of them for not leaving us comfortless, but from their spiritual union, they produce for us a leader, a teacher, a guide, a Messiah, our Jesus, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet all of my brothers and sisters and friends and others in our nation. Greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. I am your brother, Donnell Muhammad, a student in the ministry class under the divine guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Welcome once again to another edition of My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. We have a special guest with us today. He's a student in the ministry class under the same divine guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is a very fiery young man, and I promise you, you will enjoy this young brother. His name is Student Minister Daniel Muhammad, right out of our headquarters office, Mosque Mariam. He is one of the presenters that comes on many, many Sundays and was probably on this Sunday as well. Our subject for this evening, of course, is the ball of confusion, decoding the scriptures, how to overcome addictions and bad habits. And I want to welcome our guest, Student Minister Daniel Muhammad. And right off the bat, Student Minister Daniel, why is it so important that we overcome bad habits and addictions? And how does that relate to the divine scheme of things? What does that have to do with religion, spirituality, God? Why is bad habits and addictions such an obstacle in the pathway of our meeting with our Lord.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Student Minister Donnell. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Far Muhammad, who came and made himself known on July 4th, 1930. I also bear witness that he raised from among us the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, whom he took out of the mud of civilization and exalted him, using supreme wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to his current position of Al-Mahdi and the Christ. And I further bear witness that the two of them have left in our midst a man who is the embodiment of the spirit of truth. He is a divine leader, a divine teacher, a divine guide, and a warner to America and the nations of the earth, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names that I greet my brothers and all of your viewers. In the greeting words of peace, we say it in our original tongue of Arabic. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm honored to be on your program. I thank you for the invitation. I must admit that it is this channel that when I saw the invitation come via inbox, the first thing that caught my eye, Brother Donnell, was your logo, Know for Life, with the silhouette of the man and the triangle and all that other stuff. And what made me even read the message, because there's tons of messages coming through.
Yes, sir.
What made me even read the message was that in my infancy in Islam, trying to learn more of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it was your videos posted on YouTube that I fed from and grew from and nurtured from and sustained myself from. So I'm thankful for this channel. I'm thankful for all of your work, Brother Stephen's work, and all of the believers that make this possible. So I must give, you know, sometimes we can do a great work and we don't know who we're affecting.
Yes.
But in the long scheme of things, in the big picture, it can be programs like this one that really fortify believers that can really help and make a difference.
So all praises be to Allah.
Absolutely. Now, the importance of overcoming addiction and bad habits, to your question. Master Father Muhammad, who we believe to be Allah in person, he said that he came to make a nation of gods. And as it says in the book of Psalms, that ye are all God's children of the Most High God, there's something separating us and detaching us from that divine state and turning us into niggas or Negroes. And one of the biggest things that Satan can use to stop our pathway to divinity or to our godhood is that he can put obstacles in our path that we are constantly being, that are constantly causing us to stumble and fall. And whether it's from food, whether it's from the opposite sex, whether it's from drinking and smoking, whatever it is, there's a whole host of things that hold all of us in its vice grip. And Satan uses these things to deter us from the straight path of God. So the more that we can study and learn and lean on the God and overcome these hurdles and these impediments in our path, the more we can recognize our godhood and really embody the purpose of Master Father Muhammad's coming, which is to make us a nation of gods. So this is a subject that was dear to my heart. I actually delivered a lecture with this title on a Wednesday night meeting. But because we are all in a constant struggle, as we call in Islam, jihad, right? That internal struggle or war with self. I think that today's conversation will be very beneficial and vibrant and hopefully robust, and it will help all of us to become better versions of ourselves.
Thank you, Brother Student Minister Daniel, for that opening statement. And as you were speaking, I could begin to see how bad habits and addictions can hurt us. And I'm sure all of us can attest at some point in our lives prior to hearing this revelation, we had some issues with whatever the addiction was.
Absolutely.
It may not have been drugs, it may not have been a whole lot of things, but none of us can escape the fact that we had some addictions, but with no more than we were just sickly in love with the white man and his world.
Absolutely.
Which is worse than crack and all the other bad habits we could have. With that said, Brother Stephen, do you have anybody on the line that would like to ask Brother Student Minister Daniel any further explanation, or maybe even want to share their addiction, their problem, their obstacles, and then maybe he can give them some answers and some methods of how they can overcome that particular thing?
Not at this time, but I will let everyone know that if you have any questions that you would like to ask, you can write them in the chat. I'm also going to put in the chat the link where you can come on live until they formulate their questions. I guess I'll go ahead and start it off.
Please do.
This is, the Quran calls it the day of manifest defect, where so many of us are under so much pressure because we're living in an unnatural environment. Can you tell us how we can first prevent ourselves from slipping into an unhealthy addiction or a bad habit?
Absolutely. So the first thing we have to understand is that the scriptures say that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And since we know that this period of time, the last 6,000 years of our history on this planet, God intentionally gave that time for Satan to rule. So every aspect, every perspective, every dimension of this world and its way of things, its infrastructure, its systems, is all meant for us to be in rebellion to the Most High God, Almighty God Allah. And when we have that understanding, then we know that all of us at some point will be faced with a hurdle. And just so that we all understand that we are a part of this conversation, some of us can be self-righteous and we can throw off on others because they have more prevalent addictions that are less acceptable. So we remove ourselves from the struggle and from the situation because we're not like them. So let me just start and make sure that we all understand that we're all in this together. Overcoming addiction and bad habits can be as extreme as an alcoholic beating on his wife, an alcoholic suffering from cirrhosis of the liver, someone who gets drunk with every check that they get, snorting drugs, popping pills. See, those are the big things that people say, oh, I'm not doing none of that, Brother Daniel, I'm good. But in reality, even though those are more prevalent and more noticeable rebellious ways against God, there are also other ones. Some of us have no ability to turn off our cell phones and just leave social media alone for a period of time. Some of us can't not eat 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 meals a day with snacks in between. Some of us can't put down the Hulu Plus or the Netflix or whatever social, not social, but whatever website we use to binge TV shows and reality shows. All of these things are hindering us from recognizing our true divinity, which is to be children of the Most High God or images of God himself. So before we even get deep into the conversation, I want us to all understand that there is something in each one of our lives that we all need to fix. And usually when you go to the root of whatever our sin is, whatever our vice is, there you'll find addiction either on a subtle level or a very extreme level. And when we come to that realization, then we can say, okay, this is my brother, this is my sister. They may be struggling here, I may be struggling there, but as long as we can all study and feed from one another, we'll all gain the victory and gain benefit in the end. And it reminds me of a quote where they said that if you take a charcoal pit and you remove one charcoal out of the pit, they said, watch how quickly the charcoal that is isolated and by itself will cool off. But if you leave that isolated charcoal and put him in the charcoal pit with the rest of the charcoals, man, you can go do a water fight with your children, play basketball up the street, come back, and those coals will still be hot because they have the ability to feed from one another. So we pray that today's conversation and discussion is more of a united front, a brotherhood and sisterhood, because where I'm weak, Brother Stephen may be strong. And where Brother Stephen is weak, Brother Donnell may be strong. But if we can all feed from one another, we can all help each other as believers to become better. And overall, our nation will produce a greater product. So I just wanted to put that out there so that everybody understands.
Sir.
Not for
yes,
somebody
sir.
Else. This yes, is sir. For me. This is for you. This is for all of us, because yes, we all have something that we're facing. I'm sorry. I just went on a tangent, brother. What, did that answer your question, or did I even miss your question?
That was excellent.
That was thorough. That was thorough.
That was excellent. We have a question coming in from the audience. I'll go ahead and bring the brother on. Brother Rodney wants to ask the question. All right, Brother Rodney, go ahead.
What is the root cause of someone falling into a mind-altering addiction?
Beautiful question, brother. So it all starts with the source of what we're all striving to achieve, and that is peace, right? Islam is peace. But what most people leave out of the definition of Islam, which means peace, is that the peace that Islam gives us is from our obedience and from us syncing and aligning our wills with the will of Almighty God Allah. So even though Islam does mean peace, the peace is attained by a specific verb, something that we have to do. And that is to align our wills with the will of God. So most people, when they sink off into mind-altering addictions or whatever their vice may be, it is usually them seeking to provide their own mind's peace, but they don't know how to attain true peace. So some of us chase peace by trying to get a piece of every female who's willing to give us a piece.
Come on now.
Right?
Look out.
Because we're trying to find peace in this female, we're looking for the right thing, which is peace of mind, contentment, right? Serenity. But we're going about it the wrong way. And because we get a momentary, temporary peace when dealing with the opposite sex, we begin to overindulge in that act because we just want the few minutes of peace that it provides, not realizing that once that peace wears off, the bills are still there, the hell is still there, the living conditions are still there, the problems are still there. So it's only fake peace, it's temporary peace.
Right.
And if you look at the world that Satan has developed, his entire world is based on fake, alternative, synthetic means and methods. He don't want you to have orange juice, he wants you to have orange drink. He don't want you to have butter, he wants you to have margarine. He don't want you to have holistic natural foods, he wants you to have GMO foods. So his entire institution and world is built off of synthetics. And most of the addictions that we have are all because we are chasing synthetic highs and synthetic peace that is not the real peace, but we keep going that route because it offers us just that momentary, that momentary sigh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Again, it's not real peace. So the moment we come out of that high, come out of that stupor, come out of that drunk, we're right back at square one and we're back miserable, chasing another pill, chasing another alcohol, chasing another female or a male, just to get another taste of that peace. So that's really at the root of it. And once we actually attain and achieve peace, most of the vices and the other things that we deal with will become null and void.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Excellent.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we have a question. A question is, once you are in this vice, submerged in this addiction, if you will, what are steps that you can take to break this addiction?
Now that's a loaded question. So this may take a little time, but
take your time.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
The first thing in the scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? And to perish means that you die or you have a dead living condition, right? Not just physical death, but also a living death. Most of us are walking dead, right? But if we don't have a vision of what we want to achieve or become, that is going to nullify everything else that we try to do. In our studies of Dianetics, right? They talked about how there is a living condition where you can just be trying to live to survive. You're not thriving. You're not really living. You're just trying to survive. You're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to go from your day to day. So my first suggestion, if you're going to overcome addiction and bad habits, is to first give yourself a vision. See what you want to become. Know what you want to become. Go after what you want to become. And hopefully, you may have a different answer, but hopefully your desire is to become what Master Father Muhammad desires for all of us to come, which is to become a God, a living being exercising force and power, able to execute its will when and where it sees fit. That's a God. And if you have a vision of what you want to become, then the steps to become that can be enacted. But what most of us do is we're just living. We're just going to a 9-to-5 job. We're just going to school. We're just going through the everyday rigmarole. And because we don't have any cause, any purpose, anything to aspire or attain to, we default back to the vice. and the addictions and the bad habits that we have. So I would ask you first, just close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, what do you see? And if you don't see nothing, it starts right there. That's the first problem. If you want to be fit, that's a great accomplishment. That's a great goal. I want to get a six pack. I want to get muscles. Those are great things. I want to be a martial art. I want to be this. I want to, whatever your vision is, you first have to start with a vision, because if you don't have a vision, the vices and the sins and the rebellion will always pull you back in.
Yes, sir.
But when we have the desire and the vision to become little gods, children of the Most High God, then I have the vision that now my faith can become a factor in the warfare. You can't have faith if you don't see what you want to become. If we take a child, for example, there's a couple of things that when life comes into existence, God shares a part of himself with us. And the things that God share of himself with us is his nature, his ability to have willpower, and guess what else? Faith. And if you notice, one of the first things that a baby does when it comes out of the womb is it's hungry, it's looking for food. And in its search for food, it latches itself to the mother's breast, not knowing for certain if food or anything will be there, but they have a vision of what they want. I want food. I want to be nourished. I want to be fed. And then that baby latches onto the mother's breast and begins to suckle and pull and pull. And for the first several minutes, there's absolutely nothing coming out of mom.
Come on.
It is all an exercise of faith based on the vision and the desire of the child to want to be fed. So then as the child continues to latch onto mother's breast, and because of faith, even though nothing is coming, it begins to continuously suckle from mom and pull and pull and pull. The faith begins to be put to an exchange. And that exchange is then rewarded by nourishment and milk, breast milk coming from the mother that supplies the child with what it needs to thrive and survive. Now that's in our infancy stage, but in an adult stage, what does that look like? Well, the mammary gland, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, is the universe. And whatever we envision and want out of the universe, it is our job to pull on the universe, suckle from the universe, have faith in what the thing is that we are envisioning, and it is just a matter of time before forces, elements, and the help of God himself will bring into existence and manifestation what it is that you have faith and want to become. But we cannot have faith unless we have vision. So we have to start with seeing something first, having a desire to become. And the minister said, desire feeds the will.
Right.
So Brother Daniel wants to be a God, and I have the desire to become a God, then my will is fed to go on a path or chart a course that will help me to become a God.
Right, right.
It is from that stage that now I exercise my faith and I begin to pull, man, what do I need to do? What can I discipline myself in? How can I achieve? I think on it, I breathe on it, I dream on it, I envision on it. And it's just a matter of time that as I continually pull from the universe, Allah begins to make things happen. And then the next thing you know, this is accomplished, that is accomplished, that is accomplished. But this is the reason I said it's quite a long answer, because the moment we get on the path, the straight path of God, as we read about in the Holy Quran, chapter 7, right? Allah was talking to Satan, and Satan said, I'm coming in their straight path.
Right, right, right.
So one of the first things that we can realize and we can expect, it's not even a doubt in my mind, you can expect it, is that the moment you envision and begin to go after that goal, Satan is going to pop up right in the midst, and he's going to begin to try to distract you from what Allah desires for you to have. And that's where we get into the study guides that our late, great, dear sister, student minister Ava Muhammad was blessed to transcribe from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But in those study guides is the absolute key, praise be to Allah, is the absolute key for us to get over the hurdle and the temptations of Satan when he comes on the straight path to try and distract us from achieving that ultimate goal. And I want to direct our attention very briefly to study guide, I believe it's 18. And in study guide 18, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talks about where emotions come from.
That's right.
And until we learn how to control and conquer our emotions, we will not be able to overcome Satan when he comes in the straight path of God.
Right, right, right.
Study Guide 18 is so powerful, and I encourage all of the brothers and sisters to read it and to study it. And if you're not a believer, you can absolutely go to store.funnelcall.com and order the study guides. It's available to the public. But in Study Guide 18, he talks about this part of our brain, Brother Donnell.
Come on.
Where he said that the brain is composed of several different parts, but there is a system inside of our brains called the limbic system.
Right, right. Very critical system.
The limbic system is composed of four major parts. I believe it was the amygdala, the hypothalamus, the hippocampus, and what was the fourth one? Amygdala.
You asked me too quick.
No problem. But just get the study guides and you all will be able to see. Let me see.
Right.
But they can see exactly what we're referencing and talking about. But in these study guides, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talks about how one of the richest blood supplies that we have inside of this brain, it sits in the thalamus, the hypothalamus.
Right.
And it is in the hypothalamus where the richest blood supply of the entire body is found. Now, what does that mean? Have you ever had someone who says, man, she said something or he said something, and when they said it, I just spazzed out. I just lost it. All I saw was red, and I began beating them and hitting them, right? Why are you seeing red? The minister said, because the hypothalamus is so fired up, and because it's the richest blood center inside of the entire body, it becomes inflamed, and then you see red, you go off, you hit somebody, you slap somebody, you stomp out somebody. And this is just the emotions of the body not having any discipline to itself.
Right.
Any regulation, any control. And this is the source, the internal fight, the internal jihad or the internal war that takes place every time we fall into an addiction or a bad habit. It's the emotions. Man, I just want to feel good. You want to feel good. That's an emotion, brother.
Right.
Man, I want to go against what I know is truth. I want to go against what I read and How to Eat to Live. I want to go against what I read in Message to the Black Man. Why would you want to do that, but you call yourself a believer? Emotions.
Right.
And when we learn and dig into Study Guide 18 and learn how to control this seat of emotions, then the rest is easy peasy. Right. Lemon squeezy, as my children would say from PJ Masks, right? But it's the emotions that we don't have control over, and those are the things that Satan uses to come in the straight path of God and knock us off course. So we have things that are in our Islam that are regimens and disciplines that help us to overcome these emotions. So the restrictive law of Islam, guess what that is?
Come on.
Learning how to check your emotions. The five daily prayers, guess what that is? Discipline. Learning how to do what Allah asked you to do, not what you feel like doing.
Right.
Eating one meal a day, guess what that is? Overcoming emotions, because it is the emotions of the digestive tract that makes me want to eat a Twix, a Snicker, have a breakfast, some Fruit Loops with extra milk, run over to the sandwich at noon. That's my stomach talking. Those are the cravings and the urges of the flesh. So if we don't have control over this system, this limbic system that the minister so beautifully laid out, then we're always going to have issues overcoming these addictions and bad habits. So it all starts with knowledge of self. This is not high science and medical research. No, this is the knowledge of self. If I don't know what's going on internally, how can I be effective externally? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, how can we conquer an enemy or a Satan outside of ourselves if we can't even conquer the Satan within ourselves?
Right.
So before we look at any Caucasian, any white man, any white woman, we have to first look at Brother Daniel and what's going on the internal. And when I begin to understand that it is this mind, it is this seat of emotion called the limbic system, it is Satan's temptation all combined that is causing me to deviate from the straight path, now I know where to go and where to start from. Now I know it has nothing to do with nobody else. It starts with me. And that's why the scriptures, I close this answer. I know I'm going into so many different ways, but I close this answer with talking about how the scriptures call it a Leviathan.
Come on.
And when you talk about a Leviathan, according to the scriptures of the Bible, they say it's a sea monster.
Right.
And sometimes in our spooky interpretations of what we think the scriptures are talking about. Oh, it's talking about a sea monster, a Loch Ness monster under the Pacific Ocean. Stop it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that this mind and this brain sits on water. And the Leviathan, or the sea monster, is the sea of emotions that arises from the waters of the mind and causes me to act contrary to the will of God and in direct rebellion to the will of God. That's why it's phrased as a monster, because anytime you're off the path of God, the scriptures call you a beast. It calls you a monster. It calls you a serpent. It calls you a dragon. It always uses these examples of animals when it's talking about an uncultivated human being. So the Leviathan is the brain, the mind that sits on water. And when Daniel gets triggered and brother calls me a name or sister calls me a name, I'll watch my sea monster come out. Rawr! You mother, goddamn, god. All cuss words, all, we about to box, we about to fight. What happened? How did I go from pleasant, sweet, kind brother Daniel to now I'm ready to rip your neck off and fight you as my brother or my sister? That's that Loch Ness monster. That's that Leviathan that's sitting right there in the limbic system that if we don't get it in check and don't get it under control, it will always pull us off the straight path of God. So this is internally, Brother Daniel. I'm sorry for being long.
No, brother. That was excellent. You got comments coming through right now saying, thanks for even having you on here. They see you as a young brother. You're like 16. They think you're 16, man.
I wish.
That's not how to eat to live, brother. That's not how to eat to live.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Brother Stephen, next question.
Yes, sir. All right, we got one. I'll put it up. It's actually a comment, and then we'll get to the question. This comment is coming from Reverend Patrick. He says, and this was commenting on something you had said a little while ago. It is attributed to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that vision stems from the source of one's thinking. That was powerful. The question, veggie backing on what you just said, is... it's from Brother Timothy. He says, Assalamu alaikum, good brother. How does eating one meal a day benefit us in the way of overcoming addictions and bad habits?
Wow. Beautiful question. I like the simple ones that keep everybody on the same page. So I'm going to try to be less long-winded, more simple. How to eat to live. And the main things that we are asked to do as believers in the nation of Islam. Sometimes we take these things for granted because we don't really understand their true value. But in reality, if we admit and profess from our mouths that everything that we have is from a man who we believe to be God in person, then we really always have to check ourselves. Because if he said, come to the mosque on Monday for brothers, Saturday for sisters, Wednesday, Friday for study, and Sunday for mosque meeting, who set that up? Us? Quarterbacking in a room, just putting some stuff together? Or was it the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and really Master Father Muhammad who set this schedule up? Then if they set the schedule up and we're following in their footsteps to recognize our own divinity, then it makes sense for us to listen to the teacher. So, eating one meal a day, how to eat to live. Fasting is another word for how to eat to live, right? When we can deny ourselves the natural behavior of feeding our stomachs and nourishing our bodies with drink, but we can control it, then we're already on the path, because to eat is natural. To drink is natural. To desire to be nourished is natural. These are natural urges that Allah has put in every living organism on the planet. Notice I said organism. This is humans all the way down to whatever other life forms we know of, insects. All of us are looking to feed ourselves and to nourish ourselves. So if something as natural as eating and drinking can be controlled, then the question becomes, what else can I control? See, some brothers, they may want to be more disciplined when it comes to sisters or women. But if you're never practicing discipline, how do you expect to be disciplined when the test comes? Some of us want to eat better, but we're not practicing discipline in any other area of our lives. Well, when the Big Mac with extra mac sauce is smelling past your nose and a six-piece chicken wing with mild sauce, salt, and pepper is going past you, how can you expect to be disciplined if you don't exercise discipline in any other facet of your life?
Right.
So the beauty of all of this is that everything that we are given is not only meant to heal us from a physical and spiritual ailment, but is also meant to fortify us and put us on a regular practice regimen of discipline. So when we need to pull on discipline, it's already intrinsic in our being because we're doing it every single day. So 5 daily prayers is discipline. Eating 1 meal a day is discipline. Paying charity, taking care of your final call newspaper, discipline. Going out and soldiering, discipline. Whatever you do for a career, if you're doing it consistently, that's discipline. So the way that a Muslim lives their life is all about discipline, so that when Satan does come in the straight path of God to take us off path, we're already disciplined enough to say, no, we're good. I'll pass on that. Yes, you are trying to give me something that I desire, because Satan always comes in our desires.
Right.
Yes, you're trying to give me something I desire to distract me, but because I have discipline, let me see. I actually wrote down the definition of discipline because I figured our conversation would go there. But look at what discipline is. Discipline is an activity, exercise, or regimen that develops or improves a skill. So if we have a discipline of how to eat to live, a discipline of prayers, what is the skill that Allah is trying to produce in us, or the training that He is trying to give to us through these disciplines of how to eat to live? And what He's disciplining us and the skill that He's given us is rising above emotion into the thinking of God. You can only do that if you have discipline. And you're talking to a martial artist, you're talking to a chess master, you're talking to somebody who has a lifestyle of discipline. I know that you cannot be disciplined if you don't practice discipline. There is no mystery God. So how to eat to live has a physical component, but at the same time, how to eat to live has a spiritual component. Did you know, brother, that there are foods that we can eat that increases our appetite for rebellion? There are foods that we can eat that make us more tranquil, more peaceful, more at oneness with everybody in our environment and surrounding. Just look at our babies in our community who wake up in the morning eating Flamin' Hots with cheese, quarter juices, and Nalators, and look at the atmosphere of our babies when they go to school, and then look at the atmosphere of other communities who may have a more balanced type of meal, a more balanced breakfast where there's fruits and salads and veggies and things of that nature, and then look at how they interact in the early mornings. You can't tell me that Flamin' Hots and quarter juices don't trigger something about the black man's emotions, because our babies are fighting, they cussing each other out, the parents, they eating the same thing, so they yelling at the baby on the corner in the bus stop. This is all real science. So how to eat to live not only disciplines us on a physical level, but it also elevates us spiritually all the way to the point that when you're eating properly, you can also open up the dormant faculties of the mind that God gives us glimpses of, Brother Donnell.
Come on.
Many of us have had experiences in the middle of the night where we can see things and we can hear things and we can vision things.
Come on.
But it's very intermittent.
Right.
You can't do it consistently. It happens here and there in every blue moon, so there's no control over it. Why? Because there's so much sin and rebellion in our lives and so much lack of discipline that now Allah can only get to us when the time is right, when the environment is right, when he needs to get to us. We can't just regularly on a weekly basis see these things. And God does this, in my estimation, as a way of keeping us on track to recognize our Godhood.
Come
on. He's like, hey, listen, sometimes, you know, I can feel my phone buzzing in my pocket, and just off of the ring alone, I'll be pulling it out and I'll tell you who it is. Man, I know this is, oh, hey, mom, and I know who it is on the other side of the line without looking, but I can't do it all the time. Why not? Is there something wrong with the connection? Absolutely. There is rebellion, disobedience to God, sin, and lack of discipline that cuts my connection short. So I can only pick up on the frequency from here and there. I don't get it consistently. Same thing in the night. I can dream and see things. Woo, I'm taking off. Some people call it out-of-body experiences and other things. And you can see and hear and get foresight on things. And then it's like, okay, I had one, but now it's a year and a half later. And right. I ain't seen nothing in
right.
months. What the
right.
heck is going
right.
on? It's right. the lack of discipline. So how to eat to live hits us on all of those levels.
That's
physically.
Right.
Discipline, spiritual, foresight, insight, prophecy, the ability to recognize your divinity, it all is inconclusive because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a holistic regimen, not just a one aspect or a one-dimensional regimen.
Beautiful,
so I pray that answers
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, sir. Brother Stephen, next question.
Coming from Brother Timothy, why does Allah use confusion or allow confusion to exist in these days of judgment?
Beautiful question. Confusion. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in The Fall of America talked about the recipe of how Allah chastises. And you can also find this in the Holy Quran as well. But one of the things, some people call it other things, but what I love about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, brothers and sisters, is that he takes very high level principles and puts it such in a simple format that even the brother and sister that may be uneducated or could barely read have no problem digesting it.
Right.
So when he talks about confusion and gives us this recipe of how God chastises, there are other schools of thought that may call it other things like the law of karma or the law of cause and effect and these other things. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what he's really telling us is that the very things that people do in their rebellion to God, God turns around and feeds it right back to the very oppressor, so that he has to deal with the same condition and the same issues that he tried to inflict on other people. So if you look at our journey as Black folks, we were snatched out of Africa. We were put in a transatlantic slave trade, and his sole purpose was, of course, forced free labor. But along with getting the forced free labor, he had to break us down physically, mentally, and spiritually. And to cause us to break down on all of those realms and dimensions or planes, he had to cause confusion in the Black man and Black woman.
Come on.
So he stripped from us our names. When I came into the nation, I knew myself as Daniel Jones. I have no clue what Jones means. I couldn't tell you where it's from. I think it's from England, but I'm not an English man. So he took from us our names to do what? Cause confusion. He removed the speaking of Arabic that most of our ancestors who came in here in slavery, that's what they spoke. So he would put the brother who spoke Arabic on this boat, while the brother who spoke Wolof will go on the same boat. And then they will see another brother or sister who spoke Arabic, but they will make it their business to separate the two Arabic speakers, just to cause what? Confusion.
Right.
Then you make them breed without any responsibility, no husband, wife, just breed. You a strong Negro. I want another strong Negro baby. So breed with this woman who you have no connection. What does that cause? Confusion. So in our transatlantic slave trade journey and the 390 years of slavery, all his MO, modus operandi, was confusion. So now, since we are in the days of judgment, Allah takes the very things that the Caucasian did to us during slavery and gives it right back to him, so that he has to face the same consequences that he tried.
Right.
And this is why we've been talking about since the 60s and 70s, the wickedness of the FBI and the counterintelligence program, right?
Come on.
They called us crazy. They said we didn't know what we were talking about. We're conspiracy theorists. But now what did God do? Oh, okay, let me send the FBI via President Biden's staff to President Trump's house to secure some. Now what are they saying? Oh, defund the FBI. Oh, they're so evil and wicked. How dare they use law and order to execute? Hey, whoa, hold on. You were just clowning us, but now you want us to jump on your bandwagon because now your enemy is manifesting himself. So now Allah is causing confusion on the very oppressors themselves.
That's right.
And if you look at politics, if you look at colleges, if you look at all of their institutions, what do we see? Confusion, because Allah uses it as a weapon in the last days. Because you can exchange the word confusion and replace it with the word justice. This is justice happening. You are receiving the consequences of your own behaviors, and justice is the principle of fair dealing. So since you did it to others, it is only fair that it gets done back to you. So that's why we see so much confusion, and that's why Satan's world is falling. But that praise be to Allah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan are preparing us to develop, establish, and build a brand new world that will be in direct obedience to God. So we will no longer be in that, that tricky place.
Come on.
We have to wait for a matter of time to go by before we know, like Thomas Jefferson said, I fear knowing that God is a just God and that his justice cannot sleep forever.
That's right.
Fear for
that's
that.
What he said.
Since inception, it was foul.
Right.
And that it was just a matter of time before Allah turned the tables.
Yes,
but
sir.
We're going to establish a new world built on freedom, justice, and equality. So if there's anything coming back around to us, it ain't nothing but good. So we ready for it.
Come on. Come on. No, that's correct. That is correct. Yes, sir. Next question, Brother Stephen.
All right, this next question is a two-parter. And you probably heard of these statements, 8 minutes and 20 seconds. Can you comment on that 8 minutes and 20 seconds? And can you comment on 21 days to break a bad habit?
Absolutely. So the 8 minutes and 20 seconds is a reference to our Supreme Wisdom lessons that talks about the speed of light. And in our infancy and coming into the Nation of Islam, when we're becoming registered members, there are certain things that we have to recite and lessons that we have to study for those who may not be familiar. And it comes out of the book called The Supreme Wisdom. And in my infancy, I can just speak for myself. I thought we were just memorizing stuff to be slick, to be cold intellectually, to know some stuff and be able to spit some facts. But as I grow and evolve, I began to realize how wise Allah is when he gave us these measurements and these numbers, because on a deeper level, they all mean something. And I'll start with the question first, and I'll give another analogy so that brothers and sisters can see what I mean. But the 8 minutes and 20 seconds is the speed of light and the amount of time that it takes from the light of the sun to strike the planet Earth, right? And this actual fact first is just like, oh, it's interesting. It takes sunlight 8 minutes and 20 seconds to hit the equator and the Earth begins to evolve. Yes, on a basic scientific level, that's true, right? But for every celestial principle, there is also a physical principle. So what's the physical principle of 8 minutes and 20 seconds? In this human body, there is also the cycle of blood that goes from the crown of our heads to the foot and back to the crown of our head. And that time when you measure it is also 8 minutes and 20 seconds as well. So the same way that the sunlight hits Earth is the same way that the blood rotates through the body. And it is usually that amount of time. I'm gonna say this to other people who may be interested in the ministry class. It is generally that amount of time before the light of Allah or the truth of Allah can resonate from the mouth of the presenter or the student minister, work its way through the body, through the bloodstream, and begin to resurrect the people as they're sitting in the audiences of our meetings. So the job of a preliminary speaker, because that's what I have a lot of experience with, being the assistant minister of Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad, you know, I'm always opening up the program for him. But for those who may not know, that's my job. I'm meant to be up there for about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to get through prayer, to say some words, to come out of the scripture, give some analogies, so that by the time 8 minutes and 20 seconds have passed, I've taken our people from those defensive mental postures that they put themselves in. That crossed arm, mean mugging look. I don't want to be at the mosque. Somebody invited me and I don't want to come. By the time 8 minutes and 20 seconds go by, you see them relax. You see right. Their eyes begin to light up. You see the skin tone begin to change and a different type of spirit come over them. Why? Because the speed of light, which is similar to the wisdom of God, takes about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to strike us. I'm going to give us one more example out of Supreme Wisdom to show you how I was ignorant in my infancy, but now it's so powerful. Brother Donnell and Brother Stephen, do you all remember how I was talking about how in the night, sometimes we can see things?
Right.
Check this out. I'm going to give you two angles to look at this at. The first angle I'll look at is, I tell this to the processing brothers that are coming into the Nation of Islam here in Chicago. And a lot of the brothers, during question and answer, they'll ask, you know, how can I get my wife or how can I get my brother or my sister or my friend to come into the Nation? Man, they got to hear what you're talking about, man. Y'all really got some good stuff over here. And the first thing I'll tell them is that in our lessons, same Supreme Wisdom lessons, we're given the speed of sound. And I lift it for them, the speed of sound, 1,120 feet per second. Then I say, well, brother, we're also given the speed of light. And the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. Now, even leaving the equations alone, because you have to have an equation to get from feet to miles, right? 1 mile is 5,286, I believe, feet, right?
83. So,
83 feet, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Right? So even with those measurements alone, we got to do some calculations.
Right.
So let's just leave it as it is and act like it's the same measurement, feet and miles. I always say, would you rather have $186,000 or would you rather have $1,120? And the moment you put money to a black man, he understands. Oh, yes, sir. I get it, brother. $186,000 it is. So then I say, okay, well, if the speed of light is much slower and much less than, I'm sorry, the speed of sound is much slower and much less than the speed of light, then what is the God telling us in our supreme wisdom lessons? He's saying that we are going to be much more powerful, much more instantaneous if the light, the example, what they see is presented as opposed to what we say. The speed of sound is our voice. The speed of light is our presentation, our manifestation of this teaching.
Right.
And the manifestation of this teaching is so much more powerful because if they see how Brother Daniel moves, and he's not just talking about do for self, he's actually doing for self. And there's a tangible spot that you can go to and go into his business, and this is Brother Daniel's spot. When they can see it, then it's totally more, much more powerful than me trying to tell them, well, the teaching said, okay, they hear you, but does your life exemplify what it is that you're saying?
Right.
And if your life does not exemplify what you're saying, then you're nullifying the power of the speed of light. So now you have to default to the speed of sound, but it's only 1,120 feet per second. So it's much slower.
Yes, sir.
Way slower. So these are just some of the things. And I'll give you one more. The other one that I'll say is think about what we see. Sometimes we have these things that some schools of thought call premonitions. Right, where you see things and then months later you walk into them.
Right.
And that was a brother I was conversating one time with, and he exposed me to this side of the supreme wisdom lessons. He said, brother, what is the speed of thought? I said, okay, of course. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the average speed of thought is 24 billion miles per second. That's average. So somebody who's sharper is even faster than that, but 24 billion miles per second is more than enough. Then he said, brother, what is the speed of light? I said 186,000 feet, 1,000 miles per second. He said, which one is greater, $24 billion or $186,000? Of course, $24 billion. So what does that mean? A premonition or seeing things in advance is nothing more than the power of the mind, the power of thought moving at such a high rate of speed that it can travel and traverse at a super fast distance and time. And all that's happening is the speed of light at 186,000 miles per second is just catching up to the power and speed of the brain that already went forth. So in the darkness of our mind, we can see at 24 billion or more. But light has to catch up, and it moves at a much slower rate of speed. So sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's years before you actualize what you saw when you laid down in your bed. And it becomes manifest in front of your eyes. I'll give this example. I was in Philadelphia as a young man in high school. And I walked into a restaurant, Brother Daniel, and I almost lost my mind because we were on a ministry trip in a Christian church. And I walked into this restaurant, and I know for a fact that I had been in this restaurant before.
Come on.
I had never been to Philadelphia a day in my life, but I literally stopped, and my friends was like, what's going on, bro? You all right? And I was stuck because I had seen that restaurant between, I don't know the exact number, but it was between 3 to 6 months before I even went to this state and this city that I had just been in for the first time. But what is that power of my mind moving fast? And now the power of light has to catch up to it. So it's all in the supreme wisdom questions. Supreme wisdom lessons. It's all there.
Right. It's all there.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
And what we always say to somebody, Brother Daniel, for example, as you were saying about the orientation, brothers, is that sound travels, as you said, at 1,120 feet per second. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. I see you long before I hear you.
Absolutely.
So if I'm turned off by what I see, I will never listen to what you have to say.
Praise be to Allah. Beautiful. Well put.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Brother Stephen, next question.
All right. Our next question is, and it looks like, let's see here. We got one for me. Okay. And this is a juicy one too. I'm gonna put it on the screen.
Okay.
How can I save this to watch later? You can go to Know for Life, any platform, Know for Life on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, any platform. We're going to post it up on there. So thank you, sister, for that question.
Praise be to Allah.
I want to put up one from Sister Andrea and have you comment on it. This is coming from Corinthians. It says that God is not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order. So can you talk on that? Because we see a lot of confusions on the heads of state. How did all this confusion come about? I know you touched on it, but can you let us know today why we're in this condition that we're in today? And what is God's purpose for all of this confusion that we see today?
Absolutely. So that verse, my sister, was that a sister? I'm sorry, I missed the name.
It was.
My sister, that verse in Corinthians, it says that God is not the author of confusion, right? And the reason I brought the term justice, or what others may call karma, or the law of cause and effect up earlier, is because Allah did not author it. This is the consequence of their own actions and deeds.
Right.
So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that there are two wills that Allah has. One is an active will, where he's in direct control and intervention. And then there's a permissive will, where Allah allows things to happen, but he is not the author of it. He just permits it. So what we see from the heads of state and government today is the permissive will of God, where they've been doing mischief making for the last 6,000 years, but of course is increased in the last several hundred. So now where it's just so ridiculous and so absurd, it's bananas. But what Allah did was he didn't author it. All he did was step out the way and say, okay, this is what they want to do. This is what they think is best. Yes, sir. Well, okay, well, why don't we not intervene? Let's not block it. Let's just let it play out. And what we're seeing is the decisions of this Caucasian people and the rulers of this world playing out. God is not authoring it, but he's letting them suffer the consequences of their own decisions, right? So let's take it off of Caucasians for a second and bring it personal. There are certain things that I can do in my personal life where once I get put under trial, I can blame it on Allah. God, why are you letting this happen to me? And act miserable. But in reality, most of the trials that we put or we have come along in our lives is really the trials of our own poor decision-making. Mm-hmm. We know right and wrong without Bible and Quran. And that's why anytime we're doing wrong and evil, you'll find us doing it in a dark, distant place off to the side where nobody knows but us and whoever we involved with. Because we already instinctively know that it's wrong.
Right.
So the trials that come as a result of it is because we intentionally were in direct rebellion to Allah. So this burden that is on us or us and our family or whoever is a direct consequence of Brother Daniel. It has nothing to do with Allah. So I can't point back to Allah and say, you're the author of this trial. You're the author of this confusion. No, I told you, little bad chocolate self, Brother Daniel, not to do X, Y, and Z. You did it anyway.
Come on now. So
now my permissive will comes into effect. And now you have to suffer the consequences and burden of that. But don't blame it on me. Blame it on yourself.
Right.
And this is why when we read that same chapter of the Quran, chapter 7, and we look at the conversation when Allah was allowing for the Caucasian to come on this planet, right? This is the account or the narrative of the angels asking Allah, what will you produce other than that which will cause mischief and the shedding of blood? And Allah said what? I know what you know not. Let it be. So by letting it be, he's like, let the whole system play itself out, because now we're getting into the deeper aspect of the teachings of the difference between the black germ and the brown germ. If you look at the way that Islam has always been practiced and the will of Allah, he always allows the brown germ to fully manifest instead of cutting it short. Mm. For trillions of years, we made the mistake of cutting it short. Oh, that's a little rebellion right there. Put some strong law on him. Cut that out. But strong law is only going to suppress the problem for a little while.
Go ahead.
It's only a matter of time before it manifests and produces in the society. So way eons ago, Allah understood that principle. He was like, listen, I'm not doing that suppressing stuff no more. If you think you know better, take your little self over there. Go do what you think is superior to what I'm suggesting. And whatever your consequence is, you're going to get the full reaping of that.
Wow.
So he outcasted the Indians. He outcasted the Hindus. He outcasted everybody practically who's here in America because all of us were in rebellion to God. So now we live in a country that is suffering the consequence of its own decisions.
Right.
And it is manifesting the brown germ in our society. But now we want to point back. Why would you do this, God? No, don't point to me. I told all of y'all what my law is, what my way is.
Right.
To disobey. So since you disobeyed, now reap the consequences, reap what you sow, suffer the consequences of your own decisions. And now we are living, as my brother put on the screen, in the fall of Babylon, but modern Babylon, which is America. We are living in her fall and the confusion from the heads of state and the economy that's collapsing and the dollar that will soon fall and everything that goes along with it. It is all because of our own decisions, not Allah's.
Come on. Beautiful. Yes, sir. Let's ask at least no more than two more questions, brother Stephen. I see we're at just past the hour here. But let's take in at least two more good questions so we can really work Brother Daniel real hard so he leave the gym sweating.
I don't know if this is a question, but I'll put it on the screen. It says, that's biblical. The scripture says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Actions speak louder than words. Yes, sir.
You've been on the screen, Brother Stephen. That's actually my mother.
Beautiful. Okay. Beautiful.
So for those who may have heard my lectures from Mas Mariam, and I mentioned when my mother was going through her bout with COVID and she was at death's door.
Right.
I didn't have the minister, and Minister Ishmael gave me to go out to Arizona and pray in her ear. All of those things. That's my mother. Clearly, she's healthy and vibrant. She's watching.
Praise be to Allah.
Praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
So I want to then ask a question. We always hear the word karma. Karma. What goes around comes around. We also hear that what we put into life is what we get out. If we put in a certain negative energy, we'll get negative back. If we put positive, we'll get positive back. Can you help us to explain how that actually works?
Absolutely. So I think I heard Brother Nuri say this in a very beautiful way one time. He said that our lives are our minds turned inside out. Mm. That's bars right there. That's straight rap bars right there, right?
That's
right. But he said our lives are our minds turned inside out. And the minister said that our lives are the sum total of the decisions that we make.
Right.
So when we talk about, like, some of us are dissatisfied with our lives, the amount of money we make, the job we may have, our families, our homes, whatever it is. But what we have to understand is that your life is the sum total of the decisions that you made. So a lot of times, again, we try to put everything in Allah's lap and blame him for everything. But in reality, when we begin to think better and make better informed decisions,
right,
and always seek divine guidance and counsel from Almighty God Allah through his servants, through his messengers, through his word, then we will always find ourselves on a course of making intelligent decisions, and our lives will begin to manifest that in the real physical sense of the word.
Yes,
so,
sir.
I offer that as food. You know, whenever we feel like we're down or we're complacent in life, we're plateauing, go back to your mind, see how you're thinking. And if you're not thinking properly, go back to our rudiments, right? Because I'm a martial artist, you all. Whenever a child is getting off course, I always send them back to the basics. Work the sidekick, work the seeking, work the reverse punch, do your thing, right? So the same thing in a spiritual sense. Whenever you get a little, when your mind starts reeling and you get a little lost, go back to your basics. And the basics in Islam are the five pillars of Islam.
Come on.
If your faith and your foundation is weak, then check the pillars that your body is or your faith is standing upon.
Right.
So if you go back and check your prayers, if you go back and check your charity, if you go back and check your discipline or your fasting, right? If you go back and do all of these things and look at your pillar, be like, oh, that's why I'm not feeling it right now. That's why I'm feeling a little off because I'm not praying as much as I should. See, that's what the pillars of Islam is meant for, to get us back on course and refortify us when we get knocked down. Sometimes I'll be losing the question y'all ask y'all, so forgive me. Can you ask that question again, brother?
Yeah, I was just talking about karma.
Yes. So yes, karma, the you reap what you sow, right?
The
comes around.
Yes, sir.
If we're making righteous decisions and obeying Allah, then all we can expect to return to us is nothing but good. It's very simple. It's not complicated or deep. But when we begin to make decisions that are in direct contravention or rebellion to God, then that's when we have to suffer and watch our back. And that's why I tell all of my brothers who are involved in the street life, when they're like, man, I don't want to clean up. I'm making all of this money. If you're making all of this money, brother, but you have to watch your back, that's no peace. And why do you have to watch your back? Because it's the law of, as some would say, karma, the law of cause and effect. You are getting what you are sowing. You are getting it. You are reaping it. So now you have to watch over your shoulder and see what car is coming by. Mima, that's not a life to live. So I encourage these brothers to always just redirect it and live a righteous life. Our righteousness will sustain us. And sometimes I think we shy away from that message, but we always got to punch it and punch it hard. Righteousness is the key to our success. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness.
Right.
And all of these other things will be added to us. So that's what we always got to focus on, brother. I'm gonna leave it there.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Right.
And you know what? Let me say this, brother, because you just triggered a thought. This is something that I also offer to the brothers who are processing and in the orientation class coming into the nation. And I tell them to, while they're looking to clean up and they're trying to become better versions of themselves and recognize their divinity, I always encourage them to be patient with themselves and to always be in a constant battle with themselves. And I always give them the analogy. I say, brothers, how old are you? And I go around the room and some will say, I'm 20 something, I'm 18, I'm 30 something, I'm 60 something, I'm 50 something. And it's all ages. And I say, okay, well, if you're in the processing class of the Nation of Islam, that means that you are just now resurrecting. You're just waking up.
Right.
So whatever your age is, just keep in mind that that is how long it took you to become, excuse my language, but become a nigga. If you, because we don't serve a mystery God.
Right.
So if you want to reverse that and become a God, understand that yes, we want you to be inspired. Yes, we want you to go and conquer all of your goals. We want you to determine. But at the same time, it is also a process in the reverse. So if in our histories, we know that during the transatlantic slave trade, it took the slave master 64 hidden years through a process called seasoning to take men and women who believed that there was no God but Allah and that Muhammad was his it took them 64 years to break them down. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in message to the black man said that he is Yaqub in reverse. So the same way that it took 64 years to break us down, it's going to take some time. I'm not saying it's the same amount of time, but it's going to take us some time to reverse that direction and move into our divinity. So what I want to encourage us is that as we begin to intentionally go to war with ourselves on a daily basis, be patient. When you got a victory, reward yourself. Man, yes. Oh, I'm so glad I overcame that. I got out that situation. I walked away. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Give yourself your reward. But if you do stumble and fall, don't accept it and become complacent, but just understand it's a part of the process. When I'm in the dojo throwing kicks, every kick ain't beautiful. But as long as I keep kicking and keep kicking and keep kicking, eventually that bad boy come out so smooth, so powerful, so precise, because I've did it so many times. And this is the non-spookism that we have to bring to breaking addictions and bad habits. We got to get in the gym. We got to go to war every single day, punching and kicking and get up all, and we got to back Satan up a little bit. And some days, we're going to knock him straight out. And in some days, we're going to catch an L. But as long as we wake up the next day, striving even harder before, that's why in our prayers, we say striving. That word striving is so important. We're trying. We're grinding. And Allah will be just as patient with our road to divinity as he is, or as it was, with our road from divinity to becoming Negroes. God is not spooky. God is not chastising us for every single thing. He wants us to be successful. That's why he came. This book that I have, what is it called? Our Savior has arrived. Not our destroyer has arrived. Not our killer or our murderer has arrived. Our Savior has arrived. So his first intention and his desire is to save after the enemy has already destroyed.
Right.
And what he wants to do to save us, because there is a destructive side to Allah that we don't want to sugarcoat and act like it doesn't exist, but his desire to destroy is those who made it necessary for him to become a savior in the first place.
Wow. Beautiful.
So he's executing judgment on our enemies, but he chose us to be his divine people and for him to be our God. And he wants to save more than he wants to harm. So go to war, fight, box, do your Muhammad Ali shuffle, duck, bob, weave, take a L this day, catch a W that day. And I just want to offer a very comprehensive exercise. At the end of the day, take out a sheet of paper. On one side, I want you to write righteous, and on the other side, I want you to write unrighteous. And I want you to go from that one course of the day to take about 5 minutes, 10 minutes max. But over the course of the day, I just want you to write down everything that you can recall and say, man, when I talked to her, when I said this, when I did that, when I hollered at him, when I did, was it righteous column or unrighteous column? And every day, try your best to put in more righteousness than you do unrighteousness. And over time, what you'll begin to see is that your righteous list will get longer, your unrighteous list will get shorter, and as long as you can see that measurement, you know that you are on the path to your divinity. Beautiful. And that's just a basic exercise that can be something tangible for you to see and say, ah, I could do better here, ah, I can do better there. But if you see something keeps popping up on your unrighteous list, now we got to dig in. Now you know exactly what area we have to focus on and tackle, because it's there every single day. I'm going through the motions. I'm writing it down. And don't just do it mentally. I literally mean pen and pad. Pull out a sheet of paper.
Right.
Pull out a pen. Write it. Ink to paper. And then you'll begin to see a change take place. And over time, you know, there's a Native American proverb where they say the wolf that you feed the most is the one that you're going to become. So if you feed Satan more, you're going to become Satan.
Right.
You
feed God more, you're going to become God. So which wolf are we feeding? The divine of ourselves or the unrighteousness of ourselves?
That's a good lead in to what I finally found here, right? So the comment is actually from Reverend Patrick, and I think it's a good one. It talks about there's no pleasure without the responsibility that comes with it. And so it seems as though when we get into these bad habits and when we get into these addictions, we abdicate responsibility and we begin to fall further and further behind in our bills and our responsibility towards our mate and our responsibility towards just life itself. We become, you know, we stop taking care of ourselves. Can you talk about responsibility over addiction and how that does affect our day-to-day life, these addictions, these bad habits?
So you know how nowadays on social media, the popular conversation is relationships, right?
Right.
And the big trigger word for everybody is red flags. If she shows you a red flag, leave her alone. If he shows you a red flag, leave him alone. Well, pleasure without responsibility should be a red flag of Satan.
Come on, bro.
Anytime you think that you're going to get pleasure or success or some type of come up without responsibility, I guarantee you that Satan is hiding out somewhere looking to trip you up. And most times when we get involved in anything, it could be a pyramid scheme or a hustle or somebody selling TVs for the low. When you go back to the base of the situation, and we've all been caught in one of them in some shape, form, or fashion. But when you go back to the base of it and you think about, man, why did I get tripped up by that? How did that fool me? And you think about it, ultimately, you were looking to get something for nothing. Right.
That's true. You were
looking for pleasure without responsibility. So Satan came in and offered you something that looked good, but it was all glitter. It wasn't no gold to it. It was all glitter. It just shined a little bit. And then we get caught up in these obstacles and these hurdles that are really red flags of Satan. So going to relationships, since I brought it up, you know, to all of my sisters out there, how many men are coming in your DMs or trying to holler at you at work or out in the street? But when you really get down to the root of it, you find out that they're trying to get pleasure from you, but they don't want no responsibility.
Right.
So they don't want to do the proper thing, which is to court you and find out if you're the right one and marry you. They just want the pleasure, but they don't want, oh, I gotta pay the bills, I gotta take care of home, I gotta wed her, I gotta buy a ring, I gotta give her a wedding, they don't want none of that, but they just want the pleasure. And then let me ask my sisters that have all been in that situation, if they have, how did that turn out? So again, giving something for nothing hurts, but getting pleasure without responsibility also hurts. So it's just, it's in every facet of life. Some of us don't want to go to the gym. We want the pleasure of having a fit body, but we don't want the responsibility of doing the work.
Right.
So we buy detox fat burning teas and special Indian Hindu wraps. And we do all these other supplemental vitamins and fat burners and powders and shakes. And it's like, no, you want the pleasure of a nice body with no responsibility of sweating, of doing crunchies, of doing push-ups, sit-ups, weightlifting, toning, yoga, Pilates, whatever it is. You don't want to do none of that. But you just, so it's in so many different facets. But anytime we find ourselves trying to get an outcome without putting in the necessary work ethic, I guarantee you the devil is in the details.
Yes, sir. So I cannot get in your kind of shape and your kind of mastery by watching you. You're telling me I got to do it myself. Okay.
Right. Keyboard warriors.
Well, Brother Daniel, I want to thank you. And I pray that Allah continues to bless you in your growth and your ministry. You are truly a pleasure to listen to. I've heard many of your presentations over the past few years in particular. I've enjoyed and I was inspired because, see, revelation supersedes experience. It supersedes age. So if we listen with a haughty spirit as opposed to listening for God in that person, then we cannot learn unless we humble ourselves. And Allah has truly spoken through you on every presentation that I've heard by you. And may Allah continue to bless you, brother. And thank you for honoring us this evening with your presence.
Praise be to Allah. The honor was all mine. I thank you for just bringing me on the show. I know I'm still growing and learning and getting acclimated with this powerful teaching. So I appreciate the opportunity. And anytime you would like to have me back, just know that I'm always open.
Thank you, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother Stephen, you can take it away.
We just have one question for you. A person just wanted to know real quick, what are the five daily prayers, prayer times?
Sure. They are what is called Fajr, which is 5 a.m. in the morning. Then you have what is called Zuhr, or the noonday prayer. Then you have what is called Asr, or the afternoon prayer. And then you have what is called Isha, which is the prayer you say right before you go to bed. And that would give you your 5 daily prayers.
Please invite your friends, your family, your associates to tune in, because this program is using the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to go into some very heavy topics and current events. With that, I want to thank you all for watching, and may God continue to bless you and your family with the light of truth and understanding. I want to also say that prepare your home to be a sanctuary and not a cemetery. Begin to store non-perishable foods, water, and things like this, because as we see America sinking, there are things that will take place where we will not be able to leave our homes. What we see going on in foreign lands is coming right to America. And you can see already on January the 6th, you can see that the fire is already lit. So with that, brothers and sisters, I salam alaikum, and we'll close out with our usual closing.
Greetings, dear listeners. We have been blessed by Almighty God Allah over the 90 years of our work in the Nation of Islam and lifting our people up from the miserable condition in which we find ourselves. We ask your support of our effort, and we hope that you will be generous and make a contribution to the work of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan by clicking the button below or go to noi.org/donate. We thank you in advance for your support. May Allah God continue to bless you and your families. Assalamu alaikum.
Now you can get the same uncompromising truth you've come to expect from the Final Call newspaper on all your connected devices. Subscribe to the Final Call Digital Edition today. Go to subscribe.finalcalldigital.com.
Thank you for listening to this very informative, insightful program. Please follow, like, and share with family, friends, and associates. Come back every week for a new episode of Knowledge for Life's podcast.